time you need.
Right. Y'all heard that, right? Take whatever time you need. Yes. Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Tired? It's only Tuesday. You're not allowed to be tired yet. All right. Now, Thursday, different story. Well, has anyone ever done anything stupid in this world? I can tell by all the laughs that there's plenty of stories that if we could take the time. I remember when I was young, I don't know how young, all right, but we had this, we lived in a neighborhood and had, you know, all the boys that we would goof off and play different games and things with. And I remember one time we were playing dodgeball, which is a great game, except that the ones that were getting the ball thrown at them were on bicycles. Anybody ever played dodgeball on bicycles before? Wow, I didn't realize it was so original with us, all right? Anyways, we had a little circle in the court that we lived in, and so we would ride around the circle, and somebody would stand on one side and toss the ball, and somebody would be on the other side, toss the ball back, and try to hit the person on the bike. It sounded like a great game. We had a good time with it, until all of a sudden, somebody threw the ball, and the next thing I remember is looking up at the sky. I'm not exactly sure how that happened, but as the replay began to go back into my mind, you know what happens when the ball goes between your back tire and your front tire? Your bike flips. It was a pretty awesome flip. Except I didn't land back on the two tires, I landed on my back. And so I kind of stumbled into the house, and Dad looks at me. He's, "What in the world happened to you?" And I told him the story, and he looked at me and he said, "What were you thinking?" This morning, that's the title of the message. What are you thinking? We have so many of those kind of instances and situations that arise in life. One of the neat ministry opportunities that the Lord has blessed me with is to be able to serve as a chaplain with the Maryland State Police there in our county. And going on ride-alongs with the troopers, a lot of times we come into scenarios of, what are you thinking? Just a few weeks ago, I was out with one guy, and we pulled over a car on Route 70 that was going everywhere from 45 to 85, 90 miles an hour. When we pulled the car over, they moved over onto the left shoulder, but they stayed into the left lane a little bit, like maybe this much in the left lane. And so the trooper quickly ran out and said, "Hey, you need to move over to the right side and get off the road onto the shoulder so we don't get hit." And so we sat in the trooper car waiting for the car to move over. And 70 is 70 miles an hour, actually, to four-lane highway. And this is probably 9 o'clock at night. It's completely dark by this point. And so the guy starts to move over to the right shoulder. And here's how he moves over. And this is not good driving lesson, all right? He goes like this. About 2-3 miles an hour from one lane to the next lane. I'm sitting in the trooper car going like this. And I'm just waiting for the sound. Here comes a truck, and here's this car moving over like this. The truck swerves around, hits the brakes. Here comes a tractor and trailer. Thankfully, didn't have the trailer. He's coming, and now he's swerving around, and people are squealing and horns, and this guy just keeps going and going and going. And I thought, for sure, this guy's going to die tonight. And if he doesn't, somebody else is going to die tonight. Somehow, miraculously, the man made it all the way over to the right shoulder. And the brake smell kind of went away, and the cars kept going straight. When the trooper got up to the guy, guess what he said? "What were you thinking?" And you know, that's a lesson for us that we must learn in this life. What are we thinking? Go with me, if you would, to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 10. We have a story that I'm sure many of you are very familiar with. You've probably heard a message or two on it. You've probably read the account before, maybe even done a study on this story. And the truth be known, if we were to ask some questions regarding this story, most of you could probably answer those questions. But this morning I want to take a little bit different approach as we look at this story, and we want to ask this question of this young man: what was he thinking? What was he thinking? And as we ask him that question, we're going to turn that same question back into our hearts and our own selves, and we're going to ask me, I'm going to ask myself, what am I thinking? You are going to ask yourself, what am I thinking? Here in Mark chapter 10, the story starts in verse 17. The Bible says these words: "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" Now, if we were to stop right there, we could certainly recognize the fact that this is a very good aspect of life for this young man. And we know him as the rich young ruler, and that's taken from all three accounts that we find this story in: Matthew, Mark, and the book of Luke. We put the young together with the rich, with the ruler, and that's how we come up with the rich young ruler. Story, we see that this rich young ruler had a need, right? He needed to know what it took in order that he might have eternal life, that he might experience heaven whenever he died, that he might have a right relationship with God. And that's a wonderful question to ask. If you are not assured of your salvation, you need to be asking that question. You need to be understanding what it is, what the Bible describes for us in order that we might be saved or that we might be born again. And you know, the interesting thing about this rich young ruler is he came to the right source. He came to Jesus Christ himself to ask this question. And what better individual to come to? Amen. He was, or Jesus Christ is, the way, the truth, and the life. He certainly would have had the right answer. And I think it's ironic that this young man, when he comes, even though he's a ruler, even though he's rich, the Bible here in the book of Mark says specifically that he kneeled before Christ when he asked that question. Now, I've been asked a lot of questions. I think my daughter's out of idea. Try kneeling before Dad. "Dad, can I have that root beer float tonight?" I might just grant it if that's be the case, right? You know, they said, "Dad, don't hold your breath on that one." But here, this man does. Now, when we're considering this question here, what are you thinking? I've got four ideas for us to look at today, and that's the first one is this: is my thinking is founded in a source. My thinking is founded in a source. Now, obviously, this young man is, but what is he thinking? This young man has a lot of thoughts running through his mind that has caused him to do what he's doing. But what are those thoughts? What is this source? And what are some other things that we can learn from these passages that'll help us with discerning and understanding what's going on in our minds? Verse 18, the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother.'" Now, we understand that Jesus had the perfect answer for every question. For every situation and every scenario that he found himself into, he always had the right response. Sometimes those answers were questions. And in asking those questions, back in turn, he would answer their question, but in a form that caused them to think. But whatever it was that Jesus said and however he responded, we know to be the absolute truth and we know to be the absolute best answer for that individual and their question. So today, about what Jesus did when he dealt with this kind of man the way he did, we take it and accept it as truth. And so in looking at his answer here, there's a clear delineation in the fact that we have ultimately two sources for our thinking. I know there's a lot of contributing factors to the thoughts. There's a lot of external influences of our thinking. But when it comes to the source, we can boil it down to two sources today. And here they are: the devil and God. The devil and God. And Jesus, in answering this man's question, he's really trying to probe into what he's thinking. And so he knows what this young man is all about. He knows the source of this young man's thoughts. And he's offering to him an alternative source. He's offering to him another foundation for his thought processes. Now, we look into the Word of God and we follow the concept of a source. One of the things that I love to think about and contemplate on and meditate is the beautiful creation that God has created. This camp is a beautiful place. You get out and look across the lake and the beautiful sun that is shining today. You know, every year we come, there's rain, isn't there? So we ought to be grateful for a day that's not raining. The sun is shining. But when you look out there and you see all of that, and I know there's a false concept that it just evolved, but we know that that's ridiculous. We realize that this beauty, this creation has a source, and the source is founded in God. God created. Okay, so there's a source of that. Brother Chris this morning mentioned about the drinking water. And now you have no reason to be concerned any longer, right? Because now it's on city drinking water. You just got to throw that part in there, right? The government's taking care of it. But let's just say for lunch today, the city water was cut off and we didn't have water in the kitchen. And so we sent a bunch of the guys down to the lake and grabbed some buckets and filled those buckets up with that water and brought it in and started filling up the pitchers, put them at the table. How many of you would be thirsty? How many would drink the water? Why? Why would we not drink it? Because the source is the lake. And we start to think of all the wonderful things that are inside of that lake. And all the heebie-jeebies and the grubby-wubbies and everything else. And we're thinking, I don't necessarily want that into my body without some kind of treatment on that. All right? Because why? We've considered a source. Now, it's no different in your thoughts. Your thoughts come from a source. And the reality is we don't like to think the way that I just illustrated it through the water. We don't like to think that we have a contaminated source because we kind of like the thoughts that we're thinking. But we need to understand that the source must be right in order for our thinking to be right. In John chapter 8, this is a very, revealing scripture. That doesn't pull any punches. It gives us the truth. It says in chapter 8, verse 41, "You do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." And this is Jesus in the temple. He was at the tree at this specific time. He's speaking to the Pharisees, and they're coming and challenging him. And he's talking to them with different truths and trying to explain to them some different things. And he talks about them doing the things of their father, the source of what they do, which is based on what they think is of their father, right? And he says in verse 42, Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father," there's the first source, God, "ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word." Now verse 44, here's the second source. "Ye are of your father, the devil. The lust of your father ye will do." You see that? You're going to do the will of your father. You're going to have those thoughts that result in actions because of the source of where those thoughts are coming from. "He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him.
When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. This morning I want you to consider, what is the source of your thoughts? Now, I had the wonderful privilege of, like many of you, being born into a Christian home, being raised in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching Baptist church. And I praise the Lord for that, and so should you. But I can tell you, being a preacher's kid and being raised in church and being born essentially from the very first moment I came into this world, I attended church, did not make my source of God. Because by nature, I had a source that was of the devil. And so I had some thoughts that came from the devil that maybe I didn't even realize what was all going on in there. But because my source, by nature, being born into this world, was of the devil, my thinking then fit source. So what do we have to have? We have to have a change of source. Change of source. You know, as you consider on in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 and verse 16, this is a verse that you probably ought to commit to memory. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, which is the desire to do, the lust of the eyes, which is the desire to have, and the pride of life, which is the desire to be, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And who do we know to be the father of the world? The devil. See, there's that source that then produces that kind of thought process. But number two, my thinking is founded in a source, but my thinking can be skewed. My thinking can be skewed. Look at verse 20. Mark chapter 10 and verse 20. And he, this is the rich young ruler, answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Are you serious? Here's what Jesus wanted to say. What are you thinking? Now, he didn't say it that way, all right? But this guy answers this. Now Jesus just gave him the source, right? This is the source that you really need to be plugged into. It's God. And here's the commandments, here's the things of God that you need to consider. And what is his response? His response is, I've observed all these things. And one of the other accounts, he says, I've kept all these things. Now, I grew up a pretty good kid. I never smoked. I never drank. And by the way, I'm happy about that too. I get challenged with that a lot. In fact, I had one of the state troopers, actually, he likes to brew his own beer. And he's real passionate about it. And he was really, sharing with me and talking to me. And so he finally looked over to me. He said, Pastor, you got to come have one with me one day. Really? He said, I'm telling you, I'll serve you the best brew I can get you. And I thought about it, and I said, and this is the same guy that when I invited him to church one time, he said, well, no offense, chaplain, it's just not my thing. So I told him, I said, well, I appreciate the offer, but no thanks. I said, but you know what? You need to come to church with me one day. And his eyes got bright, and he said, I got it. You come have a beer with me, and I'll come to church with you. I said, you come to church with me, and we'll see what happens after that, all right? He said, no, because I know what'll happen. You'll never come have that beer. I,
I know what'll happen. You'll get changed and you won't want that beer anymore, you know? It's that, hey, when we think about it here, our source has a lot to do with what we're going here, but there's an opportunity for our thoughts to be skewed in what's going on in here. And we've got to understand this, okay? Here in the rich young ruler, we've got several things here that we can look at and things that we can think about. His concept here that he is a good individual. And I grew up as a good individual, but I know enough of the scripture to understand that I'm not a good individual. And that all of those things that I have broken, and the reality is this, is I know enough that I know that you've broken them. I mean, that's just the way the Ten Commandments are. They're to demonstrate to us that we are sinners and that we've fallen short of God's glory. And so here, as he gives Jesus this answer of I've done all this, we realize that his thinking is skewed. I don't think for a minute that was a true statement. He honored his father from all of his life. I mean, come on, he never committed adultery. Are you going to tell me that he never had lust in his heart at least once towards another young lady? I mean, it doesn't make sense. We know what humans are all about. And so, therefore, I have to conclude that his thinking was skewed. Now, I can back that up with some of the rest of the thoughts that he had going on in his mind as well. You know about his riches and how he was holding on to those riches. And boy, isn't that a big area that a lot of us get our thoughts skewed on. We have these envisions of becoming rich. How many of you would like to be wealthy? Oh, that's right. You're already a millionaire. I forgot about that. Okay, other than Philip, how many of you like to be wealthy? I mean, yeah, some of you are like, well, I don't really want to be unspiritual and put my hand up, but you know what? It can be spiritual to be wealthy. Yeah? Brother George is still waiting for that kind of spirituality, all right? We all have within us that little yearning and that want to have a lot of money. Now, I know that we justify in the sense of, well, we could give so much more to church, we give so much more to missions, we could do this and go on vacations to Hawaii and everything else as well. But, you know, that's just the leftover money, right? Majority will do this. Now, when the Lord was working in my heart, I remember a couple of very clear and concise lessons that the Lord taught me on with my thoughts being skewed in the area of money. And one of them, I was sitting in a conference and hearing some preaching and teaching, and the person that was teaching it challenged all of those that were at that conference with this thought. Are you willing to take your savings account and give it to the church? Now, I'm not sure if I heard anything else the rest of that conference, because that one thought just stuck in my mind. I thought, yeah, but Lord, you want me to save money so that I can, you know, eventually get married and have children and be able to provide for a family. Lord, it's wise for me to keep money aside for emergencies and have that ability to be able to take care of any kind of things that unforeseen that. And man, I immediately just started justifying everything I could in that. And as I got further and further into the thought process, I kept coming back to me. Are you willing to take what's in your bank account right now and give it to the Lord? If he said, I want what you got, what would you do? Cute about it. And then I remember when the Lord brought me into the ministry full time and really helping clarify that call for me, the man preaching at that time was preaching out of John 21, where Jesus asked Peter the question. Y'all know what that question was? Lovest thou me, what? More than these. What were these? Come on, raise your hand. Somebody know it? What were these? Fish. Yeah, I love the Lord more than fish. But you realize what those fish represented to Peter? That was one of the greatest catches they've had of all time. And you see those people that make a living on catching fish? They catch 10,000 pounds of herring. And that's... equal to $10,000? That's a lot of money. Peter's looking at a lot of money right here, and Jesus says, do you love me more than these? The Lord had to take me into a place to say, are you willing to go into ministry and serve me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or are you going to go out and pursue a career of earning your millions? Which one do you love more? You had to come to a spot where I had to understand my thinking is skewed. Money, money, money makes people do a lot of stupid things. Makes us think a lot of stupid thoughts. The truth is today, you and I both are vulnerable to being deceived. It's the devil's greatest tactic. Don't ever underestimate it. He's had a lot of thousands of years of practicing on people, of helping them to become deceived. And he does a great job at deceiving people. It amazes me sometimes to talk to someone who is in that realm of being deceived. The lost many times are blinded to the truth of salvation, what salvation means to them. Maybe they're blinded to the reality of where they are in that situation of being lost before God, or counting the cost of salvation. The saved also can be deceived in thinking things that are incorrect and building their life on something that is not even real or right. Galatians chapter 6, the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Did you hear that? God will not be what? Mocked. Don't be deceived. Don't think differently. Don't allow your thoughts to convince you otherwise, because the reality is our thoughts can be skewed. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. We've looked into that as a church and talked a lot about what it means to sow to the flesh and how many ways that we on a daily basis sow to the flesh. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, the Bible says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The deceitful lust. Again, when my source, depending on if it's a source that's founded in God or a source that's found in the devil, if it's a source that's found in the devil, there's going to be deceitful lusts that go along with it. That means I'm going to be tempted to go after things that I want, tempted to go after things that I think I want to be, tempted to go after things that I see, that in my mind I've become convinced that they are the best for me. And in reality, you're delusional. That's what that word deceitful means. You're delusional. You are thinking something that is contrary to the truth. We see that here in Mark chapter 10. As the story unfolds and goes further, we have to admit, no matter if you're saved or you're lost today, no matter if you're right with God or you're not right with God, you've got to look at this passage here and you've got to admit, this guy had delusional thinking. He was deceived in his thought processes here. Unless you're willing to admit that you might be deceived, you're going to continue to remain deceived. Have you ever considered the fact that there's a lot of things that you don't know that are truth? That the reason you don't recognize their truth is because you don't know. Does that make sense? It's kind of like blind spots. Anybody ever have blind spots? How many of you are learning to drive? Oh my. Stay off the sidewalks, folks. These new drivers are coming in. In driving, something they call blind spots, right? And a blind spot is a spot in the lane of travel that you simply can't see that there's something there. Now, we've had a lot of technology to try to eliminate blind spots. Unfortunately, we got a lot of technology that creates blind spots, like cell phones, okay? But the fact is you can't see that car there, and so you move over, and next thing you know, you're running them off the road or crashing into you, and you say, I didn't even know you were there, I didn't see you. When you got a blind spot in your life, the reality is you don't even have a blind spot because it's a blind spot, you can't see it.
Okay? This is the same idea here behind the delusional thinking or the concept of skewed thoughts. How do I know my thoughts are skewed if I'm deceived in thinking those thoughts are right? It's a difficult situation you find yourself in because as far as you're concerned, the thinking you have is correct. But as far as maybe the Word of God is concerned, the thinking you have is incorrect. And so we have to understand that we must realize that we can be deceived in our mind. Spell the word during for me. Spell it for me. Oh, you got it right. For the longest time in my life, I was convinced the word during is spelled D-U-R-N-I-N-G. Anybody else spell it that way? Oh, thanks for making me feel stupid. Come on. During. And I remember Mom constantly marking that wrong. If I was writing a paper or I was spelling a spelling words, or I think she purposely put during on every spelling test I ever had. And I would use it in sentences, and she'd mark it wrong. And she kept trying to convince me there was no N other than ing, N during. There was no N after the R. And I just could not understand that. I knew I was right. In fact, today I still know I'm right. D-U-R-N-I-N-G, during. Isn't that how y'all say it? During, no. All right, during. Y'all are looking at me like, here's what you're looking at me like. What are you thinking? I'll tell you what I'm thinking. Spelling makes zero sense. That's why I love math, all right? Spelling makes zero sense. Math is complete. There's no exception to any exceptions. It is what it is when it comes to math. All right? I was deceived in thinking during had an N in the middle. And for the longest time, I spelled it that way until finally one day, I looked at the truth and realized that I must not know how to spell during. And now I spell it without the N. D-U-R-I-N-G. Did I get it right? Whew, good thing. Okay? I had to write it down. And when I wrote it down, spell check had to correct it for me. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. God's will is for us to know the truth. He uses His Word. He uses church. He uses pastors. He uses parents. He uses godly individuals to help you and I to know the truth. But there is nothing more frustrating than talking to someone who just simply will not recognize that their thoughts may be skewed. I think Jesus had a little bit of that with this man here. Number three, my thinking is a significant and serious area of life. My thinking is a significant and serious area of life. Now, this is something that many of us probably have a little difficult time grasping. Because of the society that we've been raised in, free thinking is something that is promoted. Free thinking is something that is looked well upon. In fact, the bigger and the grandiose dream that you have, the better it is. And the more unrealistic something is, the better it is. And we're encouraged to daydream. We're encouraged to disconnect from reality and to connect into an unrealistic world. And you think about it, in your life, even in the short time that you've lived, there's been many a day, many a time that you have probably become something that you're not in your dreams, in your thoughts, and in your thinking, okay? And we need to understand that it's not all innocent, and it's not all of non-consequence, but rather our thinking is a very serious and significant area of our life. Look at this scripture again here in Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, what's that next word? Say it louder. One more time. Loved him. Praise the Lord for the love. Hey, by the way, God loves you. Hey, did you hear me? God loves you. He did a lot for you. And you say, I know that, Pastor. Do you know that? God loves you. Jesus, despite knowing that this guy's thinking was skewed, despite knowing that his source of thinking was wrong, even despite to know that thoughts
that he was going to continue on the path that was going to take him was not the right one. Jesus still loved him. He said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt come, take up thy cross, or thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up thy cross, and follow me." And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" The thoughts of this young ruler that had destructive consequences. And I just tried to think a little bit. I wonder what he was thinking. Based on some of the things he said, and I don't know for sure, this is the thoughts he had. But I'm guessing that he thought things like, "I'm a pretty good fellow. I'm a pretty good fellow. I've done these things. I've observed these things. I've kept these things." Maybe he had thoughts of, "I'm a very wealthy fellow. I'm a very wealthy fellow." Based on the way that he phrased the question, I wonder if he had thoughts of, "I can do something to gain eternal life. I've got my goodness, I've got my money, and I know I don't have eternal life, but I know there's something I can do to get it." I wonder if he thought that maybe Jesus would say, "Give me $1,000 and you can have it." Then there was probably thoughts of, "I couldn't possibly give up my wealth and life of power and pleasure in order to serve Christ." Maybe he had a thought of, "I have a lot of time to enjoy my wealth. I'll consider this area of salvation another day." But you know, the reality is this. He went away sad. He went away grieved. There's three areas that are affected by my thinking that have serious implications. What's going on up here affects my decisions that I make here. The decisions that I make. Think about it. Everything you did today, every decision that you made today came from some thoughts up here. And we think of a lot of our decisions as not really having a lot of consequence, but you know, every decision is a decision. And every decision takes you down a certain path, all right? Which is another area, a direction. A direction. My thoughts provide direction in my life. You don't go from point A to point B without thinking. You think, you decide. You think, you decide. You think, you decide. Those decisions start to provide for you a direction. And that direction then eventually ends up with a destiny. A destiny. This is why your thoughts are so critical. This is why your thoughts, listen to me, have such a serious consequence to them. I'm sure that Pastor Roland and Pastor George, Pastor Fryman, I know Brother Dave. We could all tell you about young men and young ladies who sat exactly where you're sitting. Pastor Chris, he probably has the list in his back pocket. That today want really anything to do with God. You know, all of that started on some thoughts that turned into some decisions, that turned into a direction. and now has become a destiny. What happened to this young rich young ruler? He came to the source of life. He heard what he had to say. And he turned away in sadness and grief, willing to keep his riches instead of receive eternal life. Now, as far as we know from the Scriptures, that same rich young ruler, who maybe, let's just say he lived to about 80 years old. And let's say in that 80 years old, he was able to maintain money and power and wealth. But do you realize now for almost 2,000 years, he's spent his destiny suffering and pain and punishment? Hey, what was he thinking? I wish the story stopped with just him. I wish that he was the only one. I wish that this man that Jesus dealt with became such an example to all others that they could look at it and say, my thinking is skewed, let me stick with what the Savior has to offer. And I can tell you this today, and this is the last idea here this morning, my thinking must align with the teachings of my Savior. My thinking must align with the teachings of my Savior. That's the only way today that when I'm looked at and I'm said, what are you thinking? Or I'm asked, what are you thinking? I can say the thoughts that I have are the right thoughts because they're based on the teachings of Jesus Christ. Because they're aligned with the Word of God. Because they're founded in the right source. And because everything that happens up here is filtered through that Word. And therefore, I know the thoughts that I have are right thoughts. The thoughts that I have are truthful thoughts. The thoughts that I have are going to lead me to right decisions. The thoughts I have are going to lead me in the right direction. And the thoughts that I have are eventually going to end up with the right and the best destiny because they're based solely upon the teachings of my Savior. This man rejected Jesus Christ. This man rejected his teachings. But you know, if you follow that passage of Scripture just a little bit further, in verse 24, the disciples are astonished at the words, but Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them to trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. They were astonished out of measure. And Jesus said, hey, listen, I know it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. But notice in verse 28, Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Can I tell you something? The world is going to tell you that that's skewed thinking. They're going to tell you the rich young ruler made the right decision and the disciples made the stupid decision. They left all and followed Jesus. But the Word of God tells us differently. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but shall receive 100-fold. That's a pretty good investment. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. He does throw a little extra in there with persecutions, but those were to count joy. And in the world to come, eternal life. Now you tell me, what should I be thinking? Let's bow our heads. This morning, I tend to think that some of you need some different thoughts in regards of salvation. Your thoughts so far have led you to put it off. Your thoughts so far have led you to reject it. To justify why you've not accepted it. Everyone in this room is without excuse. You've been presented the Word of God time and time and time again. But you understand the source of those thoughts, where they come from when you reject Christ? Would you understand your thoughts can be skewed in your rejection of Christ? Would you understand your thoughts are serious and significant in your rejection of Christ? And would you understand this morning that your thoughts need to come in line with the teaching of Jesus Christ? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Father, to help us this morning as we consider and contemplate what's going on in our minds, Lord, I ask that you would reveal to each and every one that's here today any thoughts that are delusional. And Lord, would you challenge us to not be like this rich young ruler, but instead allow our thoughts to align with the teachings of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Brother Chris.